the first three verses of chapter 8. Soon afterward, he went through one town and village after another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, the 12 disciples, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who ministered them to them out of their own resources. A word from our holy scriptures. I need help. Maybe not right at this moment, but frequently I need help. I always have, and so have you. We're born needing help. Perhaps the original condition of humanity is not sin, as some might imagine, but need, helplessness. And we've mixed up the two. Yes, we have need, we are helpless. But we're not sinners. Humans, in fact, are the neediest of all creatures. We cannot survive without others. For unlike other mammals, for several years after we are born, we would not live unless we had help. We can do nothing for ourselves in the first few years of our lives. We have to be fed, kept warm, nurtured, diapers changed. We can't see well. We can't even move anywhere on our own or find our caregivers. We are completely dependent and helpless as human beings for the first several years of our lives. So why is it that we can't recognize our own need, our own vulnerability, our own helplessness? At some point in our lives, we are socialized to be so independent, to move away from that dependence and helplessness, that we think then that needing help is wrong. That somehow we're defective if we declare our needs. Why is it that this need for help is so hard to admit? Why is it when we all need help, all of us, all of the time, we just don't recognize it? We still need people to provide our food, take care of our children, meet our social needs, and so much more. Needing help is not wrong. Not recognizing our need is more of a problem. M. Scott Peck, in his very popular book several years ago called The Road Less Traveled, wrote this oft-quoted line as the first line of his book. Life is difficult. That's it. Life is difficult. No one who lives a full and rich life denies that the world that we live in is complicated and challenging. We live with hunger, pain, illness, loneliness, grief, poverty, war, death, crime, incivility, and stress every single day. We always have. This is the nature of the world. So it's natural, then, if this is the way the world works, that we need help to get through life. We're designed, in fact, to need others. We're just a needy bunch. So let's admit it and ask for help. It's far more healthy than trying to be so independent that we won't open ourselves to others, we won't open our hearts, we won't open our lives and be vulnerable. The last thing we need to do as human beings is to be martyrs and to suffer in silence if there is somebody else who can help us when we are in need. Being independent and resistant doesn't make us strong or resilient. It makes us stubborn and foolish. Even Jesus needed help. Jesus had this urgent message and ministry to people. He was called with all of his heart to teach and preach the kingdom of God. So when he went out on his ministry, he didn't have time to go out begging, which a lot of itinerant teachers did, or raising money in order to tend to the necessities of daily life. And it wasn't his disciples who tended to his needs either. They were being taught to do the same thing as him. It was actually the women who traveled with him who provided for all his needs. His physical needs as well as his financial needs. They provided the resources for Jesus and the disciples to do the ministry that they did. Have you ever thought about how Jesus was supported during his years of ministry? Not many of us have thought of that, but it tells us in Scripture what happened. He had the same physical needs as you and I have, as did the disciples, and they didn't live on nothing. And contrary to what we might imagine, he just didn't conjure up what he needed out of thin air whenever he needed it. He relied on women to help him. The story only mentions two women, Mary and Joanna. And Luke tells us that Mary, called Magdalene, joined Jesus in his travels, having been delivered of seven demons by Jesus. She was, by all accounts, a Jewish woman who came from Magdala on the Sea of Galilee. And then there's Joanna, who, on the other hand, was a very rich woman whose husband was high up in the court of Herod in Jerusalem. So here's Mary, who comes from Galilee, a Jewish woman. Here's Joanna with a very, very high status and her very rich husband coming from Jerusalem, a day's travel from each other. They probably would have never met each other because of their different states in life. However, there was one thing that brought them together. And the story tells us that Jesus brought them together by healing both of them, and they started to follow him and provide for him out of their wealth. The story also tells us that many other women went with them as well, wherever they went, supporting his ministry, it says, with their considerable resources. Right from the beginning, Jesus had a different relationship with women than has usually been promoted in the church. While the disciples were tasked with going out and preaching and healing, which would not have been safe for the women that were the ones who supported them financially and ministered to their needs. And the story tells us out of their own resources. The word in the passage that has been translated as cared for their needs is diakoneo. Diakoneo. These women, in fact, were the first diaconal ministers in the Jesus movement, providing for the physical and practical needs of Jesus and the other men. Jesus not only valued these women, but most likely he also taught these women along with the other disciples. And he needed them in order to do what he did. Jesus needed help. If Jesus needed help, we certainly can admit that we need help as well. We need to admit to our helplessness and reach out for help. Because we cannot avoid the difficult or painful things in life, we need healing and support, we need care and provisions, which of necessity requires other people. It's not easy to do, though, to ask for help. And sometimes preachers need to practice what they preach. And as I was writing this, I realized that I had a need that was going unmet in my own life. And so I stopped as I was writing, and I got in contact with somebody who could help me out. And that person responded right away with a plan, and I was so relieved and so grateful. So we all need to start asking for help. It's not only good for us, it's actually good for the people we ask as well. Because asking others to help us makes others feel valued and needing. Knowing that others need our help and that we have something to offer makes us feel good. So it's reciprocal. Another benefit of needing help is that it generates empathy. And if there's anything we need in the world, we need more empathy, an understanding of others. Knowing that we are helpless sometimes and that we need help helps us to feel empathy for others when they need help. When we are really independent and stubborn in our independence, we begin to think that other people should be that way as well, and we become judgmental when people have needs. We have to learn to be vulnerable enough to ask so that we can develop empathy for others. It's never a one-way transaction in the world. Helping and needing helps build our connection and mutual relationships when we sometimes help and sometimes are the receivers. One of the most important things that we can teach young people as they develop is empathy and help them to recognize others' needs as well as their own. And we can only do that when we can only develop empathy when we recognize our own needs, not the needs of others. This is hard because in our first years, we take from others everything. In our first years is all about taking. And then we have to learn after that how to give, how to be generous, how to be kind, how to be empathetic. And sometimes our learning to give away goes too far to the point where we can no longer recognize our own need. We don't know how to stop and figure that out. Then we find it hard to ask. We think we're supposed to be selfless, and to ask is selfish. Of course, it can go the other way, and some people always seem to be asking without doing too much giving. That does happen as well, and it's not healthy either. A good sense of self-worth in our lives depends on being able to help others as well as knowing our own limits. In other words, a little humility. It's not good to go too far either way, to give all the time or to take all the time, because this creates a problem in our culture. When we're always the helper and not the one asking for help, we create an actual two-tiered system where the benefactor appears to be always superior to the one needing help. Or when we're always asking and taking, we never learn to do things for ourselves. We become helpless, and these people often play the victim a lot. If we could all recognize our mutual need, our society would be so much healthier. We would then become interdependent, knowing that sometimes we can help and sometimes we need help. There's a real freedom in asking for help. We begin to recognize our humanity, our fragility, our helplessness. And the strange thing about this is that this is where God wants us. Recognizing our humanity, our vulnerability. Because God works best in our hearts when we are humble, open, and honest about who we are and what we need. God does not work well with people who says, "I can do it all myself." This doesn't mean that the help always comes in the way we want it or from the person that we think might be able to meet our needs. Sometimes people just can't help us for any number of reasons. This is when we just have to learn to pray and take a moment to lean on God, to admit our need, and to go out and ask for help again, then wait. Because the answer may come in the most unexpected way. But we first have to put it out there. That's crucial. The answer may not come the way we want it, but we still have to put it out there. and we may have to put it out there several times for the right person to meet our needs. We have to admit our needs, though, and voice it, not just to God, but to others. We have to be able to ask. Just recognizing our need isn't enough. We have to ask for what we need. Why? Why should I have to ask? Because we're not mind readers. We can't expect people to know how to help us unless we ask. Even intimate partners. I did this sermon in Turner Valley, and somebody came up, I really needed that, because I just expect my partner to know what I need. They should be able to read my mind. They should be able to see what I need. Not always true. We sometimes blame others for not caring about us when we haven't asked. And that's not fair. We can't expect people to just know. How can anyone know what we need until we tell them? Because sometimes what we may appear to need isn't at all what we need. People try to help but don't seem to know what to do because we haven't asked for a specific need. I remember sitting with a friend who was dying. She was my age. We were in our 30s. And I wanted to help so bad. I wanted to do something. It's so hard to sit by the side of somebody and do nothing. So I would get up and get her cold water if I thought her lips, or rub her lips, you know, with a sponge, or get up and talk to the nurse if I thought she was uncomfortable, or hold her hand, which was okay, or fluff her pillows, or whatever I could do, what I thought I could do, until finally she just said, could you please rub my feet? I was ecstatic. She asked for what she needed. I could do that, and it made her feel better, and it made me feel better because I was doing what she needed. We just have to ask. People just don't know. And I have talked to too many people in the church who have been disappointed with the church because people haven't stepped up to help them. I'm not a mind reader either. And when I ask them if they have spoken to anybody in the church or asked the church to help, and I obviously they haven't called me or anything, so often they say no. We're not mind readers. Somehow we expect people to know what we need. Or the other thing we do, we mention a need we have, but we don't ask specifically, and we just expect them to pick up on it and do something about it. We have to ask. And I know it makes us very vulnerable, but we have to ask. We will be supported by a community if we're willing to participate in it, be vulnerable, if we get involved in it and build relationships with the people there. Because it really is always through relationships that we cultivate the ability to care for each other and meet each other's needs. I need help. Say it with me. I need help. It's hard, eh? We don't say it. I need help. Usually when we say it, it's very hard. Let's just try it again. And usually we say it in a very timid whisper. I need help. Let's say it again. I need help. It's not easy. What need do you have right now where you could use a little help? What's going on in your soul? What's going on in your life? What's going on in your family, your community, your whatever? Where could you use some help? Now think about someone you know who could help meet that need. And perhaps get up the humility and vulnerability and courage this week to reach out and ask. And it really does take courage, for the answer may not be what you want. Just don't let it stop you from asking several times if you need to. Our fear is so limiting because once we gain the courage to ask, we can keep asking until our needs are met. Start with asking God for the courage, but don't stop there. Ask for what you need. I just want to insert a little caveat here. You don't always have to help when you are asked. Did you hear me? You don't always have to help when somebody asks you. We are free to say no as well. It's a full sentence. Because there are people who feel free to ask all the time. And sometimes no is actually what they need to hear until they learn how to meet some of their own needs. No might be the kindest thing we can do for some people. The world, in fact, our own lives will become better if we simply admit that we all need help and tell people what we need. And then the next step is it to express deep gratitude. Every single time you get help, say thank you. Not just to God, but to those who have helped us, because gratitude is essential to greasing the wheels of our society. It is vital to relationships. We need God, yes, but we need each other, and we need to be needed. These are the constants in our lives that will never change, never have. Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment for reflection.